Hello，乔西德罗。Let me, first, we can chant Heart Sutra, and then we're going to have our class.
Thank you.
Very often in teaching of the Tibetan tradition, often we chant the words of this. One is not necessarily you have to chant, but you always have a generate your compassionate mind, and especially the bodhicitta, that is saying, or everybody individually, personally, want to help sentient beings to reach enlightenment, and also in order to help other people to reach enlightenment, you have to actualize first for yourself, and then to help sentient beings. So this one is enlightenment, not seeking for worldly any gain or interest. And then second is for this is a dedicate, or this is a practice. This journey is for sake of other people, other sentient beings, to help relieve their suffering, and pain and suffering, and help them to achieve ultimate realization, Buddhahood. And then this is other prayers. It's a source of all. Let's see. The prayer to request teachings. This is also offering and often chanted. Let's see. This is true of Dharma. And also sometimes praise of Manjushri, that also we chant very frequently. And I will read this explication: to turn the wheel of Dharma, that the wheel of Dharma already turned by Buddha 3 times, and many times taught, and also we're going to kind of continue, hold the lineage, or we can say to serve Dharma, teach the teachings of Lord Buddha. And then this is a verse said, in harmony with the different attitudes and mindsets that sentient beings possesses, please turn the wheel of Dharma, the great, lesser, and common vehicles. This is in our text, class, the textbook, 13 page, the prayer and practice book. Today we're going to more detail. Two classes we had already explained two truths understand by Buddhist tradition, and also especially from Vajrayana tradition and the common Sutrayana tradition, both lineages. So those are quite important, essential kind of a distinction you have to understand. Otherwise, you may read different books and texts, and then some say this and the others say that. What is the relation between? You may have some confuse or disconnect feeling. Today, our class is page 138, and I think we are already in verse 6. And there are in ancient India, there are various of traditions, philosophical traditions, and inside of the Buddhist lineage and tradition, there are also different views and a systematic kind of way to study and practice. Some are achieving the called self-realization, Zhangsangji, or Yuanjue in Chinese, I think, Dujue, or that means they have a rely on the past accumulation of wisdom and merit. In this particular life, they don't rely on some special kind of a teacher or gurus, but they are relying on their own kind of intelligent and past accumulations. So they have achieved a certain state of enlightenment. And also Arhat, they have a four type of result or achievement of Arhat. Arhat is the last one, but the other is called the way of to the achieving Arhat state of realization. There are four kind of fruitions, different fruition we can count, including Arhat. And then Mahayana tradition, they are more talking about the Chitta Mantra and the Madhyamika tradition, mind-only school and middle-way schools. In the middle-way school, there are so various of lineage and tradition too. So anyway, the important thing is saying the wisdom aspect of ultimate meaning or ultimate truth is saying all phenomena is like an illusion, like dream, including samsara and nirvana. This is stated in 20,000 verses of Pranjaparamita Sutra, and Buddha said, every phenomenon is like dream and illusion, including, he said, nirvana also is like dream and illusion. And beyond of this nirvana, if there is a other kind of a dharma or kind of achievements, he said, this also like dream and illusion. And this is why he said, from ultimate point of view, there is no beyond of any grasping. So Diamond Sutra also said, has stated, if you understand or if you see phenomenon, nature of phenomena, yeah, that means emptiness. It's not, if you are not trapped or attached to the appearance of a phenomenon, that means you already seen the Buddha. So, but then we are saying, oh, what is these things we are, you have a Buddha image of Buddha, and we are talking about the law of causality and karma, and previous life, reincarnation, and the future lives. So what is this count? Then it said, this is not this contrary or it's not just There is no internal kind of conflict by understand this. By if you understand two truths, it's saying one is from point of view of all phenomena are nature of empty or empty nature. that is from the aspect of ultimate view, ultimate sense. What is the causality? Causality or cause and effect are natural law. That is an aspect of appearance. So this is relative truth. So if you understand this, then you don't have to be kind of eliminate appearance, but you already have a great understanding of subject, object, and the actions between. So you will have a free and total kind of ease to deal with all phenomena. And this way, before we already learned from the way of Bodhisattva said, the Panja Paramita, six paramitas, all five paramita, because of you have accumulated the merits, including compassion and self-discipline and generosity, diligence, meditation, these, because of these, you wake up your kind of a nature of a wisdom consciousness or wisdom aspect. We cannot say conscious. We cannot say maybe consciousness, but the same. You, because of this, the consciousness blockation or the blockage is unveiled. You see the truth through help of, with the help of a skillful means. A skillful means that already mentioned. The virtuous deeds and also cultivation of studying, hearing, learning, reflecting on these, meditating. So with the help of these skillful means, you realize your own nature of mind. And with the wisdom that also said, with the wisdom of understanding that all phenomenon is like an illusion. So your generosity, self-discipline, that is kind of made it perfect. If you have a other kind of real sense of grasping and what is the result and too much not understanding the nature of all phenomenon, then what we do make deepening our grasping, our kind of a habituation to see things as a real, as a kind of a solid, independent, and a kind of everlasting real. Kind of this habituation will increase. So now we are in six verses. There's a this way I said different. Philosophical traditions and views, that between there was a kind of a questioning between and happy to be answered some certain questions. Then there is some argument here. Six forms and so forth, which we all perceive, exist by general claim, but not by valid reasoning. They are also just like, for instance, unclean things regarded in the common view as pure. That's a this is a saying in Buddhist in other Buddhist lineage or traditions. As we said, they have a basic common material existence. Some tradition believe there is a existence of object in a very subtle level, atom or particle or something. In the very, very subtle level, there is a existence. So that's why we can see and hear many things. There were challenging kind of a middle way school. Let's see, they were saying ultimately there's nothing really exists. That kind of view is said, challenged by that question. That also not only form material things, but also what we hear, what we smell, what we touch, we have these feelings through this organ, sensory organs, then we can immediately affect our mind. And then it's like a camera. You have an object, you have a kind of the camera itself, and then through memory or collection, like you collecting the information, then you feel that is real, what you caught or what you think, perceive, your perception or what you stored in your memory is real. And then this, I think, in modern brain specialist or neuro kind of specialist, they really, as far as I know, they don't have a kind of a anything pinpoint, say this is definitely our memory stored in here. Generally saying, if you say brain or something, but because our body, every moment there are a lot of cells is dying and many are born, so how we can say many years as a childhood kind of memory, or some people even remember 4 years old, something 5 years, those memories, how we body completely 100% already, each cell already changed, so how we can say that imprint, where that imprint kind of stored. That is very difficult to answer. Some people say this is not only physical kind of body memory, but in Buddhist also same idea, subtle mind, not gross level of mind. They are more subtle. And even that subtle level can be separate from the physical body. This idea or this explanation is there. And then this is saying, when a king of a Samadhi Sutra, they also mentioned this, said eyes, ear, and nose, they cannot really give us a valid kind of reason to detect a real situation. They're only a partial kind of a relative things. And tongue and body, mind also, this is called the sixth mind also, it's the same. They cannot give you direct, kind of, they give you some direct perceptions, but doesn't mean that is a kind of a nature of that, what you perceive. And then said, if that is real, then nothing beyond, then what we call the path of enlightenment is nothing to benefit anybody. No help or no what for use for existence of path of enlightenment. It said that means also if we believe what the eyes, ear, nose, and the tongue, body, and mind, what we our perception in these channels or this path. These capabilities can explain everything, then seemingly there is no need of other spiritual path or kind of deepening understanding of anything that give us this explanation. Of course, then it said, our mind, when we see color, and nowadays scientific explanation also same. It's a, if you see a color around you, you definitely thinking this is color existed on that material or object. But this color very much depends on relying on what kind of the organs you have. Some animal have a less color. Some animal even in explained, I'm not quite sure, but some people, I read a book, some said in Brazil there is a birds or something, they can see more, much more color than us, could be possible. But recently some animal, a scientist also told us, like some dog, or I don't know, all dogs are same, or said they only see black and white. And if that is the case, then possibly they are more capable kind of a functions of beyond of a human body. There are many animals capable to diving into the sea or living under ground or can fly many much better than us, running, jumping and everything. So it could be they are, have a more developed kind of organs. So it said also this is one depending on our own organ of eye kind of and then also depends on how much layers or recesses that say light we can perceive. For some, like a bat or something, they can feel other radios much better than us, or some can see I'm not sure, it's a roach and the heat, like some animal like eagle or something can see, even I think snakes, some can see rats, not seen by eyes through our kind of function, similar our eyes, but they can see with the heat temperature differences. We cannot see temperature differences at night, but they can see it. So similarly, these explains even the relative kind of differences, our eye not telling us all the truth of the object. If you say nature of thing is not at all, cannot see through eyes. And the nose and the other also easy to fool. And we can say, we can see something, but this is a limited aspect of object we can see. Limited aspect of the object, what we perceive in through our organs, that is saying. And why then needed about this understanding of we are not totally denying what we see, form and sound or texture or those, all these, what we see is, in the Dharma, often some people may say, oh, you are talking about emptiness. That means you don't analyze or you don't realize, confirm or anything, existence. That you have to define two truths also too in that case. In the relative truths, we, of course, we see what we see, same. Most of the human beings are same. I saw a river, you don't see that as an ocean or something like that, differences. If you are sick or something, maybe have a different illusion. Otherwise, we will have a common, some kind of understanding of something. That's why we can work together. But it said, relative kind of, or these six perceptions cannot see the object, or the ultimate truth. That's why ultimate truth, how you really understand the ultimate truth, this is through the reason. You can, from Sutrayana teachings, or you have to be reason, giving a reason. That's why the fundamental teachings of Buddha, including like 400 verses, Arya Devas, 400 verses, Nagarjuna's fundamental wisdom. These teachings are explaining the Buddha's kind of teaching taught the Prajnaparamita Sutra, Transcendental Wisdom Sutra. And this is explained by the Nagarjuna and his student and other many scholars or great masters. They give us a good reason. This is a many aspect, many layers of analyzing this situation, and use even, let's say, the real analyzing is through meditation, but for teaching, for giving kind of a communication, then if we all not realize, then we say both people, like two people not realize, then they have to be communicated to understand that what we are talking about, ultimate truth, then this reason very important. There are very famous six way to reason in things. And also there is a debating tradition, and there is a way, rules of how to debating logics. If two people are all realized master, teacher, then, or great beings, then they not necessarily have to explain by words, but if they kind of maintain that view or not those understanding, then each have some sense of understanding. These are also possible. From ancient time until now, there is some people doing in this way. And if you rest next to him or a person, maybe not next necessarily you come too close, but they will figure out what kind of a realization you have. This. And then what we are saying here in the six verses is saying form and so forth, which we are all perceived, existed by general claim, but not denied by Madhyamaka tradition or middle way tradition, but it's but not by valid reasoning. That saying we need kind of have a understand more about the natural phenomenon, and then they give an example. Why this example, unclean or unclean, pure or impure, that unclean things regarded as a common view as a pure. These are maybe, without explanation, people may have a wrong understanding why these verses coming together. That's because the other Buddhist schools, like Chitta Mantra, they mind only school, they have some understanding about the consciousness. There is a existence of consciousness, not other phenomenon outside of this consciousness. Some Buddhist tradition, Satantika and Vivashika, these they have a understanding of a subtle existence of a objects. So there is a subject or object, some real existence is there. That kind of a tradition already in, or also in Buddhist tradition. So, Madhyamika tradition wanted to give in further explanation. So it said, because of all Buddhist tradition in common practice of these renunciation is very common practice. So they have a common understanding about this. We are too much attached to our kind of a sensory pleasure. So try to transform our attachment towards a particular kind of food or anything like that. So clean and unclean, unclean analyzation is for use for transform our mind, generate more renunciation. So in that sense, saying we normal people have a touch towards what we see, what we hear, or something we like to hear, like to see, and it's like to smell or eat or body sensations, or these are attached. So then if you have a more further understanding about what we really get in touch to, then you may have a generate renunciation, because what you see, for example, human attachment towards other human beings in Buddhist common practice is saying, if you really unveil, or you, if you analyze, there is a 62 kind of material, or kind of, what is it, made this body. So, like blood, flesh, bone, or marrow, or something, hair, or different, as we already kind of detailed explained before. So if you think about those each one, then you feel, oh, this is not what I want to touch. That is also not what I want to touch. So these, one by one, you don't have that attachment. But if you, that is all put in together in very organized, very nicely, then you felt it immediately have an attachment. So this unclean or clean, touch, untouched feeling is between, what is different is how you analyze it or you don't analyze it, just kind of a pure direct perception you get. What you see is what you get, the kind of feeling. Then you are kind of easily fooled by kind of what you see. But if you do a little bit more further kind of analyzing, then you see more difference. So similarly, it said, relative world we see, perceived, is kind of a, that what is as it is kind of a feeling. We trust our eyes and these organs, but if you have a more deeper kind of penetrating the essence of mind and how mind functions, and then what is the nature of a phenomenon. These, if you have an impermanence and emptiness, from this aspect, you, if you go deeper, then you have another realization or another kind of understanding of the same thing. So this is why they give us here, giving us this example here, pure on pure kind of giving this. And verses 7, but that he might instruct the worldly, our protectors spoke of things. But this in truth lack even momentariness. Now, if you say it is wrong to claim the momentary as relative, and then this is also giving more kind of a challenging what emptiness As we said, it's all illusion, like dream, like illusion, that kind of view that other criticizing this or giving us questioning about this view. Is that and then this he continue kind of debate some challenges, people challenging this middle way school, a view of middle way school, said Buddha said all phenomena are impermanent, and then our Madhyamika tradition said every phenomena not really existed. There are nothing really, things are not really existed, kind of a, but then he said, if there's no, nothing existed, then what is this impermanent? What, why Buddha said impermanent? So it's like, Buddha say impermanent, there is a thing so impermanent to have, we kind of impermanence or permanent is relevant. If nothing is existed, so what is impermanent? Useful terms these to describe things not exist. It's impossible. So these given these kind of question, and then you have to be explained from. From Madhyamika school said, if we think in a relative world, we have to count what is time and space, these kind of questions, basic questions. If you say time, you must be related to past, present, and the future. Without that, you cannot describe any time. Then, if you say, past, present, and future, all relative to this past and now, and the now and the future, kind of, a, or future and past, these kind of relative, kind of a comparison. Then it have to be divided time into instant, kind of a immediate, or 1 second divide to 10 million or something billion, these kind of subtleties or small count. But from a theoretical point, you never can divide, finish it that time. You know 1 second is, there is a shortage or limited kind of a duration. But if you say you wanted to divide into it's like a theoretical divide to unlimited, limitless divide, division is possible from theoretical point. Otherwise, if you find anything moment now it's rising, that is past. Anything you analyzable is, there is a secondary moment they already become past. And then it said, not only 1 second to the other second is already impermanent, is past. 1 second itself already is part, the kind of a, show the nature of impermanence. Otherwise they cannot be passed to the second. So then it said, what is really telling from the impermanence is emptiness. Otherwise impossible. Kind of, it's like illusion appearance. Is illusory appearance. So if you aspect of time, you will see that emptiness. If you aspect of material, you find divided objects, also you are going to be hit or merge into emptiness. It said, if we are talking about relative kind of age and month and time, hour and minutes and second, these are relative truth. So Madhyamika school or middle school, no one denying this relative way of counting. And so this here is question continues. He said 1 second, 2 second, these are, if it's not the truth, then against our common kind of experience. So he said, but these truth lacking of even momentariness, this is a Madhyamika's view. Now if you say it wrong to claim the momentary as a relative, so this is one thing. We're going to explain the first one, said Buddha, but that he taught, he may instruct the worldly, our protector spoke things, that means, so why Buddha taught the impermanence, or is that the impermanence really kind of contradict with the, things like intrinsic existence, that emptiness? There's an explanation, said the Buddha, why taught to impermanence? Because in relative sense, sentient beings are attached to the realness, real existence of object, and the real existence of every phenomenon, from large to subtle. So Buddha roughly giving those people who totally lost in the relative world, giving them the kind of a breaking point of that realness, its teaching of impermanence. Impermanence, it said, impermanence teaching can help to see the ultimate truth. And then the momentariness is said, this relative sense, there is an impermanent, the momentary changing and the time of this moment, that moment, next moment, yesterday, last year, future, those are relevant and they existed. And then it's as we divide the time until you cannot say anything much like that. So in an ultimate sense, we don't really live in those three, past and the present and the future. Those are illusion, like understanding. It's a kind of a very rough and the top, these, in a appearance sense, very rough kind of understanding about the nature of time. And then this way, Diamond Sutra also said, mind won't not live past and the present and the future. He said this because mind kind of not in the present, past, present, and future. There is no kind of a relative sense to put or this mind into some certain configuration, that is way of mind existing. Something, maybe my translation is not very good, but you can read Diamond Sutra. There is a very famous quotation. So it's the same, actually we never, as we said, the momentariness itself, we are not escaping that kind of a relative sense of 1 second. Although, of course, we have a change in our age and everything, so there is a perfect understanding of relative sense changing and also ultimate sense, that illusion in nature. So relative sense, of course, there's a past, present, and the future. And then if you say timing, 1 second to the other second cannot merge in into same time. There's both, there is a one first, and then one later. So if you say, this changing happened relatively because of there's a first and second, today and tomorrow. But the illusion is beyond of these three times. And then this is a given explanation downstairs, down verses. There is no thought for momentariness is relevant for yogis. But for worldly beings, ultimate, were it otherwise, the common view could thought the yogi insight into corporal impurity. And then they said, in relative sense, you see, again, there's some, if you're talking about ultimate truth, then from relative point, that is unthinkable for some people. If one practitioner can realize ultimate truth, all things like illusion, for other people felt it's a kind of nonsense. For worldly people, they will think this is not easy to understand, or it's a kind of a not important, or some kind of a not interested, or something feeling is come. But in real sense, there is no thought of the yogis who realize ultimate truth. So one can, if you say we are very much attached to this world, and we think these are our whole world, what we have, and then later on some people said, oh, this is a what you see, your kind of a, let's see, if you have a cup, for example, if you have a cup, and then you felt, this is my precious cup, I like this very much. And some people come, the first person come and said, oh, where you got your cup? It's such a valuable, beautiful, designed, and a very unique and a rare kind of a cup. That is very interesting. I would think that we want to have the same cup as you have. Something like that. Then you felt very happy, and this is very much in your hand and your kind of skin or something. You felt very comfortable. And the second person come and said, oh, you have this new cup. Ah, interesting. But, you know, when you have this cup one day, you will lose this cup other days. Definitely one day you will separate with this cup. Whether this cup, nature of this cup is impermanence. They have something time to born, to handmade by somebody, and sometimes they will deteriorate, or you lost, or some you give to somebody, or you going to be kind of a separate with this cup. If you say this, it's not a very comfortable feeling, but it's true. Some sense you kind of, but for some people they don't like to hear these words. Though then you think, what's wrong with you? And then this is just my new cup and my some kind of feeling of unfriendliness. And if you third person come, see as an illusion, or we can say they didn't say anything or something, but they from the understanding they can let's say if you have an attachment towards this cup, it's somehow you have a limiting, you are limiting objects and limiting yourself in only certain aspect. They know you not realize the nature of your own mind and all the objects. If you communicate in a relative sense, use words, say you're using this function or use this cup for a certain use, or to way of understanding this is very limiting yourself or something. This may be more distracting or discomfort your mind for some people. For some people, they would like to hear, but this is said in normal people and the yogis who understanding relative truth. And then the Madhyamika tradition, Madhyamika answer, Madhyamika or the Middle Way school, what their answer towards the this is said, like you guys, like other tradition, Chitta Mantra and these, you would like to practice of impurity and like white bones. If you too touch to male or female, then you will have some special kind of a visualization of skeleton. Without this bone or flesh, this skeleton, this bone, would you really love and attach it to this bone? You don't. Like, there is a way to kind of this very detail and the process to visualize this to antidote of desire, too much desire, attachment towards kind of these female or male, these attachment. And then if you, they said, if you are practicing impurity of a flesh of 32 kind of a different impure accumulations made this body, and or you are visualizing skeleton or these, you have a not understand and not to, by common people. If the people don't have this practice, they don't want to practice of renunciation or the antidote of the desire, people will not really kind of easily know. If you were, when you are meditating there, somebody say, what you are meditating? You say, oh, I'm meditating 32 kind of a human flesh in not in this impurity and the skeleton. These, well, people may think you need to go to hospital or something. You have to see psychiatrist or something going. They don't understand what you are doing. So that doesn't mean you are practicing valuable kind of practice. That they don't understand doesn't mean this is not valuable. This is a valuable. This is a very valuable. They cannot say, because they don't understand you, so your practice is not valuable. It's a valuable practice. It's likewise, relative sense, see ultimate is no use or very difficult to understand, but doesn't mean ultimate truth, that kind of, it's still important. Even many people misunderstanding or not understanding. So anyway, this is a general main point. And then, next verse is 9. Through a Buddha who is but illusion, how does merit spring? as if Buddha were existing truly. But you ask if beings are like illusions, when they die, can they take rebirth? From this sentence is saying, if we say Buddha or these are illusion through a Buddha who is but illusion, so that means Madhyamika tradition, one hand saying Buddha are kind of ultimate sense, there is nothing to touch or nothing real or nothing kind of can be relatively touched. If you say everything phenomenon is like dream, like an illusion, like a mirage or something like that, then it's almost the same. All we relatively seen is a false situation. Then he said, why are you still doing like offering food or incense or light or water to Buddha's image? And if you do this, it doesn't really increase your merit because Buddha are not real. If you kind of do generate things, and then the people also like illusion, what we doing. So then, what kind of merit you get? And then for this answer is said, if you see yourself as a real and you see the object is real and then you're doing something is real, then you think you have the realness of a subject, object and action. So in this, if you can increase the merit, what generally we believe, then it said, if you practice in an illusion way, see it as a dream and illusion of object, subject, and actions, you accumulate illusion-like the merit. Is the same. One is seeing that those are kind of limited and in realness. One is also accumulating, but accumulating with his understanding of that is illusion. That means ultimate, you have a relative accumulation of actions, a subject, object, and action considered as relative activities and relative truth. And with the understanding of ultimate truth, you are having the unsurpassable kind of stillness accumulation, actually, because you don't have attachment, you don't kind of, if somebody disturbed your kind of offering or something, you don't mad or something, doing something. So if with this, you have a more perfect understanding about offering. If you have a, so the explanation is always like this, in a higher or ultimate sense of level of understanding, what you do practice or accumulation, as the Heart Sutra also mentioned, what you do with the understanding, these are lacking of an intrinsic existence, then that not bound you or not become a chain to capture you trap yourself by your own activities, because you understand this is a kind of temporary illusion or these things. But if you have a realness, anything, if you do virtuous thing, you're still captured by realness, entrapped in this phenomenon of realness. That is sometimes given an example said, for negative deeds, you are captured, your mind, and then you're trapped. That seems like a very dirty rope to tie yourself up. And then this is you don't want that smelly and the dirty rope tied you up. You feel uncomfortable. And if you do virtual thing, but you really think those are realness, that is almost like you have a golden, beautiful rope, but you also tied yourself up. You are not gaining freedom. Also another example is saying, only this doesn't matter, it's a dark cloud or kind of white cloud, as long as they can block sun, you are not seeing the truth. That means that is already some kind of imperfect. And then the next one, in this sense, we should, for some people, they may practice of ultimate truth, see things are like illusion, so they don't have much courage to have generate compassion or want to do a good thing. It's doesn't matter for yourself, where you think anyway this is illusion, like that. So for this, those gradual practice, Buddhist or teachings all often encourage people saying, if we just analyze this teaching and actualize teaching, it's very different. Actualize, if you really achieve that state of realization, then you are beyond of any kind of phenomenon, illusion, or trapped into those kind of the distorted emotion and the views. So you are totally gained the freedom. But otherwise, if you just analyzing these theoretical teachings, then you still need to practice. You are not achieving those ultimate sense of realization. So we need to accumulate merit and do good deeds, good things. And these are important. Systematic practice and training, very, very important. Otherwise, we may not analyzing ultimate truth, also same time losing our relative kind of worldly good deeds, also not dying. So lose, like in two sense, in ultimate and relative, it's not good. So the next one is the same verses. So this is you ask, if beings are like illusions, how will they can take rebirth? So another question is saying, if we are talking about the reincarnation or rebirth. For this, reincarnation or rebirth is all phenomena. It's like that. Not only consciousness, conscient people, sentient beings, but also material things also taking form and shape in different time and different compound situation, cause and the condition. They have often constantly changing. And then nothing can be kind of totally disappear, but also what's it called, the energy material kind of transformation or the between. It's the same understanding these different appearances. So within timeline, or you can say relative time, we have the consciousness in a rough gross level appearances in certain form of beings, and also then a form appearance to back to emptiness. That is also rely on the elements of these. Roughly, we can put the category as earth, water, fire, heat, or and then air, space, the consciousness. These. So when we deeply engaged with these elements, then our consciousness become very obvious and in a gross or feelings with the sensory material organs, the function in that way. And then when these elements cannot support us, we collapse. And then we go, our consciousness goes to very subtle, as we explained before. It's a seventh, eighth consciousness, fundamentally eighth consciousness. And then from that storage consciousness, we kind of take what we have a very what do you say, virtuous and meritorious. We will take a higher rebirth. If we have a very weak and a very negative, much negative collected, accumulated negative, the deeds or karma. It's fundamentally, it's a karma. It's karma. And a lot of disturbance and distortion is there. Then we're going to take a rebirth in lower realms. And without understanding of ultimate truth, we always induce six different three realms or six class of these six realms, different words to describe, but we are in these we are wandering beings in six realms, three realms, six class of beings in between the very, very large and diverse kind of sentient beings. So this is said, why we can, so it said, let's see. So if you say it's like dream, the relative phenomenon is like a dream, then how you explain that rebirth theory and the samsara existence, cyclic existence, and this is also false. How can we take rebirth in those non kind of like dream illusory world? How we take rebirth in those illusory world? And then if you say illusion, we cannot, can we take rebirth and then samsara is like illusion? But if you say Buddha taught, us the sentient being is there, samsara is there, seemingly it's real. Why Majjhimika teaching taught about, saying about this illusion? It's like saying, as we said before, Buddha taught impermanence. Why based on impermanence? Basically, what is the basis of impermanence? It should be something real, existence. Similarly here, saying, Buddha taught the samsara and the sentient beings. If it doesn't really exist like an illusion, what need to be taught or what is kind of a, what you're saying is kind of a, against Buddha's original teaching like that. It's giving those accusing or criticizing or debating in these questions. And then the answer from Majjhimika, he said, as long as the conditions are assembled, illusions likewise are persist and manifest. This is said, Buddha, he is already beyond of samsara. Samsaric life is illusory, like wise saying. But the Buddha, he, how to say, well, let me see, it's a good organization. And said, Buddha, because he appearance based on the need of help of sentient beings, he is not falling into samsara by the force of karma, but his kind of aspiration is the help of sentient being to realize their nature of mind or real nature of this world. So for him, he's let's see, this is already we are. So first, I think it's said, when we take rebirth, so first, I think it's, we will discuss this one, it's a condition assembled, of course. It said, so we, as we said, these things are exist or disappear, rise and cease, its cause and the condition. Basically, it's about the cause and the condition. When cause and the condition is there, so something you don't want or want, but seeing things will be appear. If cause and the condition misses or ceases, then the phenomenon also ceases. So disappears. So this is a said. And then, so why through the simple beings more protected should sentient beings be regarded as more real? Then it said, from common understanding, what is Buddha's, the Majjhimika teachings are the illusion or these, then may think a dream like illusion, then a dream is very, relatively our understanding, dream is a very short kind of period of time. Life or samsara is very long, so they think, we cannot use this illusion or dream to describe this life. So because of the time long and the short differences, so then the answer is the time always relative. If you say long and short, in a, if you're waiting for somebody on the street, you, if you wait 30 minutes or something, you felt very long. But if you're sitting comfortably in your home, so 30 minutes, maybe not that long. Or if you are waiting for somebody on the phone, 5 minutes already very long. No one answer something. So, it's like that. If you, different situation, wait and the long and short is very relative kind of a conditioned situation. So in the relative sense, it's also said the core law of causality, cause and the conditions, and sentient beings, and material things, and time, space, these are existed by their own other relative sense. Subject, object, experience, also same. So the main point is say why the illusion that we are taking rebirths is said, illusion doesn't mean there is a no things, not nihilism. There is a things, but these things are caused, conditioned, rise because of rely on the cause and the conditions. When right cause and the condition accumulate or come together, compound, then things appear. When these kind of cause and the conditions collapse, when there were something, things will disappear. So it's like that. So that doesn't mean that that is a kind of a something intrinsic existence or things are there in permanent, not impermanent, it's impermanent. Nothing kind of long-lasting, that is a very illusion-like, and nothing kind of forever non-changing both things, but always changing. So this is that. So and then I described this one earlier. Let's see. And then the 11. If one kill or harm the magical illusion of a man, there is no mind in such a thing, and therefore there is no thing. There is no thing. Yeah. But beings do indeed have a mirage-like minds. Things are and the merit will in consequence rise. This is another question. Said once they are challenging, what they are challenging, or try to make it clear, maybe not challenging, but make clear, is saying why the ultimate teaching is so important, always often talking about, and then what is the between relationship with this debate, we will have a more clear sense of this relative truth and ultimate truth, what is kind of needed to understand of those two truths between. And then this way I said, if it's an illusion like a dream, then if we kind of murder or kill or something, do bad thing, it shouldn't be a sin or negative karma consequences. And also, if you do good things, meritorious deeds, you won't accumulate, shouldn't accumulate a merit or something good kind of a habituation because it's an illusion. It's like this. Some are kind of more repeated kind of related questions, but it's a little bit different always. And then the answer is said, so this giving us this example. So if you, one individual, if you think it's an illusion, then collective kind of a view, or phenomenon also illusion. From based on this point, you do good and do bad, it's nothing kind of difference or it, no consequences. If one can say it this way, then the answer is not like that. It said, if you, one person, magicians who can produce animals like cow or something in the illusion, then he said he was, no, this is not a real kind of a sentient being, but he, with this disappearing and appearing of his magic kind of a play, there's a no thing. If you do this for normal kind of fun, there's a no meritorious kind of deeds, but no sin also too. That is a way. But if a relative sense, we see that animation or picture, they don't have a consciousness. They don't feel anything. In relative world doesn't mean, although it's illusion, but you have a feeling, like you have a dream. You, in a dream, you may realize next day that is a kind of a, not real. But in that moment of a dream, you have a feeling and you're terrified or you're happy. You kind of feel saved, something. So similarly, when this is a dealing with the consciousness, with the sentient beings in relative sense, then the merit and the sin or negative karma or the constructing, destructing, positive, negative, these are involves. So that's why the what you do, what you avoid is important in relative sense. So this is also try to make a distinction or demarcation how we, if you have a sense of understanding of those illusions, doesn't mean in relative sense you can do whatever you want, but you also have to know one way you have to have a transcendental mind. That means you kind of can give up or can go beyond or transform from this limitation. And can renunciate your mind, you have no problem at all. You are not touched and trapped and enslaved by phenomena. But at the same time, while you are kind of having, walking or communicating with this other sentient beings, you have to be compassionate beings and to do good work, kind of accumulate merit. In a firm sense of a future, your appearance will be much, much kind of a higher condition. So if you see many people do bad thing, where they go to very shadow, dark mind themselves. Even you didn't caught by police or accused by people or punished by somebody, but you have a kind of a negative effect automatically. If you got caught and got put in prison and punishment or sentence, then you will see kind of similar activity of negativity. Many people will come, whether this is from this life or past life, there was kind of a goes to the negative environment in human realm. It's a prison or other kind of conflict zone or tough, difficult situation. So if you do good things, and then in, maybe it's not a kind of direct sense or immediately something, but for long kind of a vision or long farsight, you will continuously, doesn't matter, temporary kind of go up and downs. Then life after life, you will dedicate to do good thing. You definitely Even in this life, you try to do everything good thing, you will be much good, better. So comparative, you don't care or you do just destructive things. So similarly, in whole samsara kind of a sense, upper three virtuous realm or negative suffering kind of conditioned, nature of suffering, kind of more suffering, suffered kind of lower realms, what you do is very, very important. So we do care about other sentient beings. So here, the explanation of saying what here, what we are doing is saying some people think that is there is a more ultimate kind of understanding or ultimate. So the realness is only phenomenon. The one is thus. Second is saying, Buddha taught impermanence. Why then you taught in kind of emptiness? What is that to conflict? Buddha also taught in emptiness, of course, but some people may have this kind of the excuse. So this is the one to clarify it. And then some people will think, oh, you do the virtual thing and non-virtual thing, well, no matter, doesn't matter. It actually matters. And then some people think, oh, we have only this life, future life will not exist because you also said there is an, all samsara is like dream, illusion. But it said, phenomena arises in causing the condition, no conflict with their ultimate sense of innate nature or inherent existence of real solid independent existence. These are not conflict. They are actually supporting that understanding about the impermanence, understanding about rise and cease of compound things are impermanent, and there are the lacking of intrinsic nature, that means they appear by the cause and the conditions. And then, so as long as dealing with the consciousness, you accumulate positive or negative karma by dealing. So these are our essential teachings here. I think our time, maybe. Oh, it's already now 3:30. We'll leave here, and then we'll dedicate. The wisdom chapter is like a question and answer. It is, we try to explain more detail, but it may a little bit over elaborate, but it's useful. If you say very light and then quick, we may not have a deep imprint to understand this part. If we are slower and some detailed explanation, then we at least some imprint or some understanding is left here. And then we dedicate our class and what we are reading and or explaining and contemplating these. And closer to the truth, and then this dedicated to all sentient beings, as the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Shamada Bhadra as well, I now dedicate all this virtue, following their example, one and all. Since dedication has been praised as a spring, by all the victorious ones throughout three times, all of the fundamental virtues I have, I fully dedicated to practicing the sublime. By this merit, may all attain omniscience and defeat the enemy wrongdoing from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness and death. From the ocean of samsara, may all beings be free. By this virtue, may all beings complete the collections of merit and wisdom, and attain two secret kayas that arises from merit and wisdom. Through this goodness, may omniscience be attained, and thereby may every enemy mental defilement be overcome. May beings be liberated from the ocean of samsara, which is troubled by waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. Thank you very much.